So hey there, friends. Welcome to this episode of Self-Kind with me, Erica Webb. A Tuesday tidbit for you today, episode 240, and we're talking about the ways that thinking through the lens of always and never can keep you stuck when it comes to self-care and a kind, loving relationship with yourself.
Hi, and welcome to Self-Kind with me, Erica Webb. This is a podcast about what it means to be, live, and move through a lens of self-kindness. We'll look at the ways self-kindness can underpin our practices in movement, mindfulness, and mindset to support us to be and do the things we so desire in the world. I'm thrilled you're here. Let's get into the show.
So we have definitely talked before about the all or nothing mindset when it comes to movement, when it comes to self-care, and how that can really get in the way of just like having a consistent, sustainable way of meeting yourself with self-care and with movement that just like makes you feel good, right? This all or nothing thinking really says it has to be 100% or it's nothing. It really doesn't give us room for all of our humanness, which rarely is perfect, right? And I think that it can be very valuable to look at the same topic through a few different angles to kind of see it from more than one side. And that's why today we're going to talk about this same idea, the same all or nothing thinking, but through the lens of always and never. They're exactly the same thing, right? But I think it sits more closely aligned with how we actually speak in our day to day. And so it might just be like, oh, yes, actually, I hear that come out of my mouth, or I hear that in my own head, and how that might be impacting your ability to move towards the relationship that you want with yourself and your body and with self-care. So the reason that I started thinking about this was because maybe a week or two ago, I went to a workshop for basketball coaches. So I coach both of my boys' basketball teams, which was a happy accident, but a story for another day. And they started offering these clinics for coaches. Because coaching basketball is quite a new skill for me, I was like, sign me up. I am absolutely going to that. I have a lot to learn and I really want to be better at this, right? I want to give the kids the best experience and the best skills that I possibly can support them to get. So I went along to this clinic. It was fabulous. One of the things that the coach said, though, was around this always and never. And he said, you know, you really want to be careful as a coach not to be telling these kids that we always do it this way or we never do it that way. Because for the most part, you will always contradict yourself and create confusion because your players need the capacity to make decisions in real time. And it's just not true that there's one solution to any particular problem. And I loved that language, right? This like, don't say that it's always like this because it's not. Don't say that it's never like this because it's not. And ultimately, underneath that is what's more true, which is for the most part, right? Mostly you will do it this way because it will make the most sense most of the time. Most of the time, we will not shoot threes in under 10 basketball, but it doesn't mean that it's never possible, right? So there is this underlying message, which is more true, that this is mostly what we do, but the language of always and never, especially when you're working with kids, can be a little bit too, it's too literal, right? Because if we never do something and then you do it, they're like, well, you said we never do that. What are you talking about? And as adults, perhaps we can see and logically deduce that, yeah, most things are not always or never, but we still use the language. And so it got me thinking, how does that affect then what happens internally when we don't do the thing that we say we always do, or we do the thing that we say we never do? And I think the risk as adults is that we make ourselves wrong, we make ourselves bad, we dip into shame, we dip into guilt or blame or some other emotion when we always do something and then we don't, or we never do something and then we do. And when it comes to our relationship with ourselves and with self-care, if we want that relationship to feel like a soft place to land, right, not a aggressive one or a criticizing one, then we do kind of want to be intentional and curious about the impact the language that we use has on how we feel. And so When it comes to self-care, how might you be using always and never language in a way that perhaps holds you back a little bit, or keeps you feeling stuck, or keeps you feeling self-critical? An example of this might be that I walk most mornings. So I go for a 45-minute walk with a friend in the morning. We always do this, right? That is our plan, to do that every morning, Monday through Friday. Do we always do it though? No. Sometimes the weather is terrible. Sometimes one of us is sick. Sometimes one of us has something late the night before and we're like, I am not getting up for this. We do not always do it, but it is certainly the structured plan that we will. If I said to myself that we always do this, right, and I create a lot of importance on the always part of that, when we don't do it, or when I specifically am the one who's like, I can't do it tomorrow, there is the risk that I make myself a problem for that. Now, if you are not, you know, in that headspace and you're like, I would never feel bad about that, so happy for you, like really. But if you're anything like I have been, you will know what I mean when I sort of say like that might make you feel guilty, right? Or it might make you feel bad because you're like, but we always do this and I'm the one who's, you know, saying we can't. So that language of always can simply be a little bit problematic if we're trying to navigate our way towards a softer, gentler, more loving, kinder, compassionate, honest relationship with ourselves. So what I want to talk about beyond that is like what we can do instead, because often we know what we mean underneath, but we want to be a bit more specific in how we speak to ourselves so that we leave the space to be more in relationship with ourselves in the way that we want to be, not just defaulting toward, well, I'm bad or I'm wrong because I did the thing that I never do, or I didn't do the thing that I always do. We want to open up space for the inevitability of our human condition, right? This imperfect state that most of us are in all of the time. And this really leads on from last week's conversation around like expecting to fail because you are imperfect, and how our perfectionism hides in plain view. And this is another way that it hides in plain view, right? Where our language says it has to be this way or it can't be that way. And then what happens in the gap where we do inevitably do the thing that is contradictory to our language? How does it actually make you feel? Does it send you spinning into criticism? That's really the question. And if not, great. Go on using that language. There's no issue, right? But if it does, if you're like, yeah, actually, that does make me feel kind of crappy, then the invitation would be, can you choose different language? Right. So instead of I always go for a walk in the morning, most of the time I go for a walk in the morning. I prefer to walk in the morning. I find it more supportive when I walk in the morning. Or I prefer not to exercise at night. I prefer not to fill in the blank. Or I rarely find myself blah, right? So we can use this language of more often or less often, prefer, don't prefer, more supportive, less supportive, to give us space to be human. That doesn't mean that we don't have structure. It doesn't mean that we don't move towards like, this is what I want. This is what's supportive. But it leaves space for that inherent imperfection of what it is to be human. So that when you don't do that thing, or when you do do that thing, it's not a reflection on your character. It's not a reflection on your goodness or your worthiness. It's just, you know, part of being human. So I hope that's helpful. A little bit of a different way perhaps of looking at all or nothing thinking, perfectionism, we could call it that too. Let me know. Let me know if that helps. You can, as always, come over and find me on Instagram, send me a DM. @ErikaWebb_selfkind. And I'm going to be back on Thursday to talk all about one of my favorite topics at the moment. It's a new one. I think you're going to love it. We're talking about joyful rebellion. So tune in on Thursday or sometime after that for that. And until then, keep being kind to yourselves. I'll talk to you soon.
Thank you so much for tuning into this episode of Self Kind. If you loved it, why not share it? And while you're there, take the time to subscribe, rate, and review the show. I'd love you to come hang out with me more too. You'll find me over on Instagram at ericaweb_selfkind. And you can sign up for my e-newsletter by heading to my website, ericaweb.com.au. While you're there, you can also read up more about the Self-Kind Hub and other ways of working with me. Until next time, keep being kind to yourself. Bye.